From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Heaven will be full of the ceaseless praises of Jesus. Eternity, thine unnumbered years shall speed their everlasting course, but forever and forever, to Him be glory. Is He not a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek? To Him be glory. Is He not King forever? King of kings and Lord of lords, the everlasting Father, to Him be glory forever. Never shall His praises cease. That which was bought with blood deserves to last while immortality endures. The glory of the cross must never be eclipsed. The luster of the grave and of the resurrection must never be dimmed. O Jesus, Thou shalt be praised forever. Long as immortal spirits live, long as the Father's throne endures, forever, forever, unto Thee shall be glory. Believer, you are anticipating the time when you shall join the saints above in ascribing all glory to Jesus. But are you glorifying Him now? The Apostle's words are, To Him be glory both now and forever. Will you not this day make it your prayer? Lord, help me to glorify Thee. I am poor. Help me to glorify Thee by contentment. I am sick. Help me to give Thee honor by patience. I have talents. Help me to extol Thee by spending them for Thee. I have time, Lord. Help me to redeem it, that I may serve Thee. I have a heart to feel, Lord. Let not that heart feel no love but Thine, and glow with no flame but affection for Thee. I have a head to think, Lord. Help me to think of Thee and for Thee. Thou hast put me in this world for something, Lord. Show me what that is, and help me to work out my life purpose. I cannot do much, but as the widow put in her two mites, which were all her living, so, Lord, I cast my time and eternity too into Thy treasury. I am all Thine. Take me and enable me to glorify Thee now, in all that I say, in all that I do, and with all that I have.
Spread.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called Why We Must Be Delivered from the Law, part of this series of studies in the Epistle to the Romans. As we've seen, the main objective of Chapter 7 is to deal with God's law, its functions, and its limitations. Actually, all the law can do is expose sin and condemn it. An essential point here is that the law not only condemns the act of sin, but the very thoughts and feelings of sin. Only when this is understood will the sinner know the awfulness and ugliness of sin. Furthermore, the law provides sin a base of operations, for unregenerate human nature rebels against any restraints placed upon it. People delight in doing as they please until the law of God convicts them. It is when the sinner really feels the weight of the law that he realizes that he can be saved only by the grace of God. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, Why We Must Be Delivered from the Law.
Paul says in Titus 1:15, Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So when the holy law gives a holy commandment that is just and fair and good and upright and beneficial, the rebel turns it into a reason to sin. Lloyd-Jones once said, the law irritates sin, disturbs it, and by its prohibitions arouses it. This is the point that Paul makes so strongly at the end of verse 8 into chapter 9. Without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. The law, without the law, sin was dead. The idea here is without the law is simply that it didn't trouble my conscience. Oh, it was there. I mean, the law is in the Bible. You can't get away from it. You can deny it, ignore it, do whatever you like. It's still there. But Paul's saying it lay inert, inactive, didn't trouble me. And as a result, I was alive. I was complacent about myself, about my standing with God. But when the law did its work, sin revived, sin was aroused, and I died. And I realized then just how deep and dark was the depravity of my soul. And I lost all my self-complacency and was swallowed up by guilt. And the result, verse 10, the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. Now that brings us full circle. We're back to the question of verse 7. Only in different words. Verse 7 says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? So Paul now comes to verse 13. Was then that which was good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Do I blame the law, says Paul, for bringing me to death? No. Verse 11, it was sin that deceived me. It was sin that slew me, not the law of God. Verse 12, the law is not evil, but by its very purity, it shows, as verse 13 puts it, the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Now you see, this is Paul's real argument. But because of the reasons given, we must be saved from the law. What I want you to get tonight is, if you have never known conviction of sin, if you're at ease with a lax view of sin, if you have that superficial religion that lets the lust of an evil heart flourish, and that doesn't bring you down under such a feeling of unworthiness and rebelliousness and guilt, you're not saved. You're not saved. Paul is here describing his experience as vital to his Christian life, and is vital to ours as well. Men and women understand we can't be saved by the law, but the law must do its work to let you see how vile and filthy, ungodly, unworthy, and needy you really are, and shut you up to Jesus Christ. I hope that tonight, although I have not, I'm skating over this passage pretty quickly. I have not gone into it in the depth that it deserves. I hope you've got some conception of how vile sin is. It's not just outward actions. It's an inward bias of the will that's against God. It's an inward corruption. It's an evil root. How vile sin is. I want you to understand how real sin is. Sin is not a psychological disturbance. Sin is not a complex. Sin is not something of which preachers speak in order to scare you into submission. Sin is real evil. How real it is. How deceptive it is. A man sitting on the edge of hell, feeling good about himself. One heartbeat away from the groans of the damned forever, feeling good about himself. I'm alive! Oh, I wonder, are you there tonight? I'm alive! This is life. Don't try to get me under guilt. Don't try to make me feel bad. I am having the time of my life. I'm happy with my life. happy with my lot. I'm not worried about my soul. I am not worried about eternity. How deceptive sin is. Paul says, it deceived me. How fatal it is. It slew me. Dead in trespasses and sin now, and soon to be dead with the second death in an everlasting hell, cut off from God. How impotent the law is to save you from it. How terrible to remain under the law, trying to work your way to heaven. Can't be done. Now, what I like about Paul here is that he wrote all this not as a theologian making a point, winning a debate. Paul wrote this as a man who had come to learn it in a deep and personal way, a way that changed his whole life. You see, there was a time when he had no real conviction of sin. The law had never really hit him. You know, I think there's a lot of people just like that. The law has never really hit you. Your religion's all surface, all shallow. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Of course, I live like the devil. I think like the devil. I act like the devil. I go with the devil's crowd. I fight my joy among the devil's crowd. But I'm a Christian. Oh, don't talk to me. I'm all right. Man, I fear for people like that. The law's never really hit you. Paul was once in that condition. There came a point in his life where the law came down on him, as my old master used to say, like a ton of bricks from a high altitude. And man, did it hit him. Came a point in his life when it laid him in the dust, and it stripped away his pride, and it took away his self-complacency and boasting in his self-righteousness, and it made him feel his sin. Do you see how he puts it in verse 10? I found the commandment that was unto life to be unto death. I found. That for Paul was the moment of discovery. It was an agonizing moment. It was a heart-rending discovery. But it was very necessary because it led him directly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and women, the law can be summed up in this. I know it can be summed up, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two great commandments of the law. The positives. But all the prohibitions of the law can be summed up in this. Thou shalt not covet. That one commandment lays bare the lustfulness of the human heart, and by its very statement stirs the lust of the heart to rise in rebellion against God and His law. But that commandment, which shows God to be holy and this His standard to be just, thereby slays you and shows you your total depravity. Brings you face to face with the wrath of God. You cannot come face to face with God's law and know it to be holy and just without realizing the wages of sin is death. And the law brings you to face with hell. And in doing so, it shuts you up to to a righteousness that's outside of yourself. If this is the standard I must reach, and believe me, no one will ever be in heaven whose righteousness does not fully and completely satisfy everything demanded by the law of God. That's the standard, and I can never reach it. Is there no hope? Ah, that's the gospel message. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, has lived in our place, fulfilling the precept of God's law. He has died in our place, paying the penalty of God's law. He lives for our justification. Bless God tonight. He is able to save to the uttermost and to clothe the guilty sinner who believes in Him with the robe of His perfect righteousness, so that that law is again a law unto life. No longer an agent of our condemnation, but now a witness for our acceptance with God because of the righteousness of Christ. Oh, I trust tonight that the law will really hit you. It may not be a nice experience for the moment, but it's essential to lay your pride low in the dust, to get you beyond the shallow surface religion that gives you just enough religious knowledge to stop the mouths of those who would dare to witness to you of Christ. Gives you cover from the preacher of the gospel, but leaves you a vile and guilty and unchanged sinner. And in your heart, you know that there's neither love for God, nor His law, nor His gospel. May God's law hit you tonight, and then may it take you by the hand and lift you out of the dust and take you where it took the great John Bunyan, to that place somewhat ascending, and fix your eye upon that center tree and show you the righteous one, Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, write thy word upon every heart. And O God, tonight we pray for the entrance of thy word which giveth light. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt expose sin for what it really is, depravity in all its depths. Gracious God and Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt take men and women and young people beyond a shallow surface profession of religion that is an insult to God, a blasphemy to Christ, and a delight to the devil. Lord, we pray that the law of God will do its work this evening, that men and women, feeling the awfulness of and the guilt of sin, will see the beauty and the glory and the righteousness of Christ, come and wash their robes and make them white in the blood of the Lamb. Answer prayer, we ask of Thee. Part us now with Thy blessing, keep us in thy fear. Be our abiding portion, both tonight and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.